Good to have each and every one of you here today. We are continuing in on our series on Commit Your Way to the Lord, and we're using Psalm chapter 37, verse 5 as our text there, and it says, Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. And so we've been going through this month here looking at ways here of committing ourselves to the Lord, and how we need to do and be involved in, really, it's just simple things to help us walk in that path. But the problem is sometimes the simple things we overlook, or we think, well, we've done that, so we don't need to continue to focus on that. But we do. And so what we want to look at today is the whole idea of I admit, which is a lot of times some things we don't like to do, right? But what we need to realize is that that is a good thing for us to do, for us to admit a variety of different things. In today's lesson, one of our first steps that we realize when we're contemplating becoming a Christian, let alone living as a Christian, but becoming a Christian, is to admit that we are powerless to save ourselves. Right? Is there anyone here that came to Christ on your own? No, you came to Christ because of what He did for you and that message. The Bible says that in admitting my weaknesses, we can find strength. If we don't admit our weaknesses, then we're bound to continue to carry those around. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 9 says this, in 10, it says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." Now, to give you a little context here, remember this is Paul asking or letting us know that he had asked the Lord for help that he had been struggling with, the thorn in the flesh. And the Lord says that my grace is sufficient for you. That means whatever I've given to you is enough. For power is perfected or made complete in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. But just take a look at that list of just some of those things that he shared with us there. And we could have different things. We could have similar things on our own lists. But for insults, you know, sometimes we get bent out of shape when somebody happens to say something against us, you know, and then now they're on our list forever, right? With distresses, hello, welcome to life, like George shared this morning. We are going to have, things that stress us out. Persecutions, we have not even come close yet, to suffering persecutions that Paul had been through. With difficulties, that's a pretty wide open topic there. We all have difficulties, from automotive struggles, right? Car doesn't work, car doesn't want to start, to this time of year, sometimes the furnace doesn't work like it should, or you have the unfortunate happening of pipes freezing. You know, there's all sorts of difficulties. Or you hope that the road is is salted, so it's easier to travel on. And then later on, you realize that that salt's what's making it so your car rusts, right? So it's like difficulties coming and going. There's all sorts of difficulties that we have. You go to the refrigerator and your favorite snack's not in there, right? George, the Oreos are gone, right? Whatever it may be. So those difficulties. And so as we look at those things, and if those are really the hardest things that we have to consider, that's pretty fortunate. That's very, very fortunate. But anyway, Paul goes on to say, for Christ, I do all these things for Christ's sake, for that when I am weak, then actually I am strong. He has to admit that his power does not come from within himself, that his power comes through a resurrected Lord and Savior. But you know, this is not a popular idea in our self-sufficient American culture, right? Which says, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Don't depend on anybody else. Do the Lone Ranger thing. But this is the essential first step to getting our act together, is to admit that we need help. Admit that we are powerless to do it on our own. We need God. And then God gives us other people, His Word, in different ways to help encourage our walk with Him. Admitting our sin gives us a place to acknowledge our moral failure and begin to move forward. Because we already established back in lesson number one that we all need help. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Remember I said, I don't need you to raise your hand because the Bible already says we've all messed up. But then it's, are we going to hang out there? Or are we going to move forward? Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. In other words, if we do something wrong, we have to fess up. We have to admit it, because we're all going to do that, right? And so, this reminds me of a story that happened to me back in September of this past fall. Our family had the opportunity to go to Destin, Florida for a week. And the house that we get, big three-level house, you know, it comes with a golf cart. You know, and one of the nice ones with the seats and the seat and the extra seat and, you know, whatever. And so we'd go out riding and do stuff down to the, because we were just a couple blocks from the main road that goes along the beach. Well, the last day that we were going to be there, the last full day that we were going to be there, it was calling for a nice day. The next morning was supposed to be raining. And so when we got ready to leave, so I thought, well, probably won't. So I decide I'm going to take Jude and Jace and Charlotte and Lane, we're going to go out for ice cream for breakfast. Because that's what Papa does, right? So it's like 7:30 in the morning, and I get them all loaded up, and we get up, and we go for a ride down to the beach. And I'm like, you know, whose favorite kind of... Well, Papa likes Kilwins. So let's go to Kilwins. So I get out, and I get on the road, and I'm driving down the road. I look in my rear view mirror and there's our friendly neighborhood police officer with his, sirens on and lights a flashing. So I'm like, surely It's not me. So I pull over, and he pulls over. And I was like, well, that is bizarre. I've got Lane. Well, I got Lane, Charlotte, me, Jude, and Jace. Officer comes up and says, good morning, sir. What are you doing out this early? And I was like, well, just going for a ride and, you know, got the grandkids in here. We're going to get some ice cream. He says, it's 7:30. I said, yes, sir. And he goes, where are you headed? I was like, well, there's a Kilwin's right up the road here is where we were thinking about going. I said, if not, I know there's a Dairy Queen. I'm going to need your license if I can get that, sir. So I'm like, okay. So I got Charlotte, and of course, you know, Charlotte, well, they're all just looking around, what's going on, Peppa? And he comes back after taking, and he's like, so first of all, here's your license and everything. He goes, I just want to let you know, Kilwin's don't open till 11. Dairy Queen opens at 10:30. However, there is the Circle K back there, you know, the gas station that has the ice cream in it, and they're open now. Okay. Thank you. So the kids are still like, what's, you know, going on? And he goes, by the way, that little girl needs to be in a car seat. All the kids under 5 years old need to be in a car seat. So she needs to be in a car seat. And I'm like looking, yes, sir. Charlotte's two. At that time, she wasn't even two. Lane's two. Jace is four. And Jude is six. He's six. So I don't need just one car seat. I need three car seats. But he only called Charlotte out, so I was like, okay. So then we're sitting there, and now I'm like, I don't need to go to Kilwin's because they're not open for another 3.5 hours. So I need to turn around and go back. So I'm like, I wonder if it's legal to make a U-turn. So I sit there, and the kids are like, well, are we going to go? And I was like, I think we're going to wait for the officer to pull away first before we go. So then I pull out. He goes ahead and pulls out, goes down the road. So I do a U-turn, go back. We pass the Dairy Queen. He's correct. It's closed. We go into the Circle K. It's closed. Or no, it's open, excuse me. We go in and get the ice cream. Lane and Charlotte, well, they want to push up, right? We know those. Those are good. And both, of course, you know, it's already like 83 degrees that morning. Humidity's high. I open up their lids for their, we don't even like get out of the parking lot yet. And both of them go, and the whole end of the push up goes right out onto the ground. And I'm like, and they're just like, So anyway, Jude and Jace, they're eating their ice cream. We drive back to the house. We pull into the garage. We open the door. I don't even get the other kids unbuckled yet. And Jude and Jace run in the house and say, we got pulled over by a cop. So this is where we tie this into the message, is I had to admit, as Sam looks at me and goes, what happened? And I was like, oh, it wasn't near as bad as it sounds. But I had to admit that I, you know, almost got me and my four grandkids thrown in the slammer for going and trying to get ice cream before, you know, and those are things you don't like to mention to moms and dads at 7:30 in the morning, on vacation. But I had to admit, because if I tried to conceal my transgression, I was not going to prosper. Plus, the grandkids weren't going to let that happen. They were like, we got pulled over by a cop. I was just like, yeah, well, let me explain. Okay. But anyway, so I had to admit things that crazy cop needed to just mind his own business. No, that's not what we need. Sorry. No. I needed to admit that maturity comes when we recognize these facts that we begin to work on and start to face them and address them and then do our best to change. So we didn't go anywhere on the golf cart. I didn't. That rest of that day, just because I didn't want to get pulled over twice in one day. So we had to make a change. And that's what part of this lesson is about. But being willing to admit that I need to make a change. The definition, as we know, of insanity is to do the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results. And so not only in our admitting that we are powerless without Christ, admitting that we are lost without Christ, that we have to admit other things as well that may be hard for us. We've discussed some of these things before in our previous two lessons, but as we look this lesson, okay, I was just curious. I had to look because it's blue up there. Everybody take a look there. It's blue and it's yellow there. So I was like, did I? Anyway, all right. See, I had to admit that I'm powerless to do anything about that. But I was just more curious, which would fit right in with all of our blanks, because all of our blanks today start with a C. First thing is, I admit that I am powerless to change my past. How many here would like to go back and change just something, some one thing about your past, right? Yeah, I would have liked to gone back and warn the grandsons not to go in and tell mom about, they didn't need to know that. It didn't help her one bit to worry about getting pulled over by police officers. Okay, so you got to know the right things to admit, right? Anyway, Philippians 3:13-14 is if we've got a life verse, my favorite one is Philippians 3:14, not Philippians 4:13. That's a very good one too, but 3:14 is the one where I press on, and we'll look at that here in just a second. But what we need to realize is that verse 13 helps us accomplish 14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. He's talking about eternal presence, glory. But one thing I do is forgetting what lies behind me and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Lot's wife would have done very well if she didn't want to, for whatever reason, look back. The Lord is telling us that there are times in our life we need not to look back, but we need to forget what lies behind. Those things that we aren't excited about admitting in our past life. So don't talk about it, because a lot of times we use our, I've been to several places where testimonies have been given, and what it becomes is a bragging session on who sinned the greatest before, you know. And so the Lord's saying through Paul, put that stuff behind you. Don't go back to that. You don't have to share that. But what you need to do is see the thing that lies ahead of you. What God has in store for you. And reaching ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he says there that I press on. This isn't just, I'm going to head in that direction. This is, I am pressing on with a fervent effort. The sins that I have committed, listen to this. The sins that I have committed, the sins that you have committed, the sins that we have committed, do not have to define us. Right? Did you do those things? Could they say that you're that? If you lie, you're a liar. That doesn't have to define you. You know why? Because the Lord forgives. You can't change your past, and He doesn't expect for you to live there. You know, the things that we did, they may hurt. We still remember them. We may even resent what we did. We have remorse and regret. But it's not going to change what happened. I'm powerless to change the past, and so are you. But here's what the Lord wants for us to do. The Lord wants us to learn from the past. He wants for us to learn from the past. And the Lord can certainly help me and you to overcome our bad past decisions. We don't have to let our sin define us. We don't have to live in the past with regret and remorse. We can move forward, but we are powerless to do that on our own. I think there is a reason why we are told that when we are immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that our sins are washed away because He remembers them no more. If we choose to bring them up, that's our problem and what we have to work on. Number two, we're powerless to change our past. I must then also admit that I am powerless. Oops, I think I skipped one. I am powerless to control other people. Have you noticed that we've talked about this each of the last 2 weeks as well? You know why? Because we're still trying to do it. I guarantee it. If I followed you around, or you followed me around, we're still trying to control other people this week. We haven't learned yet. We may be doing better, but what we try to do is control other people in the way they think, the way they view us, maybe even actions that they're doing for themselves. You know, and we always say, well, you know, if I could just follow them around and help them, yeah, then their life would be messed up just like yours. 2 Corinthians 20, verse 12 says, "Our God, will you not judge them? We are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you." Realize that this week. I can't change other people. It is difficult to even change ourselves, let alone other people. But he gives this example of they're getting ready to go, and he's like, we're going to need your help on this, about these group of people, and I'm powerless to do anything to these other people. But I do know this. Their eyes may not be on you, but this guy's eyes are going to be on you. I can control myself. And even though I'm powerless to control other people to make them do what I want, I haven't done such a great job in my own life. So help me just to focus on you. We try. We like to manipulate. We use all kinds of little gimmicks in our lives. But it doesn't work. At least it doesn't continue to work. And what we need to remember is that I am responsible for my actions and not theirs. I cannot control other people. Thirdly, we need to admit that I am powerless to cope with my harmful habits, behaviors, or bad actions. God's or good intentions are not enough. As a matter of fact, it's been said before that heaven's pathway is paved with good intentions. We mean right. We're trying to get there. But good intentions are not enough. How many times have we tried and we failed, even in our own life? So this lets us know that willpower is not enough. We're only 18 days in from January 1st, when is notorious day for starting diets. How are we all doing? Right? Are we still on that? Are we still working at that? We've tried, so willpower is not enough. We need something more than just willpower. Because if we could do it on our own, then wouldn't we have done it already? We need a source of power beyond ourselves. The fact of the matter is, we need God. Why is that? Because God made us to need Him. Think about that. We need God because He made us to need Him. You think you can make it this week without God? Just say, God, I don't need anything from you. You're going to drop dead because a little thing called oxygen. Right? James 4:6 says this. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is the power that God has given us to make change. It's the unmerited favor that we get are given. Grace is the power God gives me to make the changes in my life that I want to make and that He wants to make for me. That's why I've said before, I believe that as Scripture tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, that I believe that the grace God has given us is giving us the opportunity to have a plan of salvation. He's given us that opportunity to be saved. He didn't have to. We don't deserve it. But through His grace, He's given us the plan of salvation. And so that when we say we are saved by grace, then there is something that they say, well, that's a free gift. It is. It's a free gift. But that does not mean we don't have to do something to obtain that gift. If I put $1 million right here and I say, Isaiah, come get this $1 million and it's yours. It's a free gift. Well, if it's a free gift, you deliver it to me. Right? Or would you jump up out of that seat as fast as you could and grab the $1 million? Right, you jump up and do it without thinking. And so why is that? Why do we consider that? Well, that's not a free gift. He had to come all the way up here and get it. But it is a free gift. May not be tax deductible, but God opposes the proud, so we need to, and He gives grace to the humble. And so what we have to do is admit, first of all, that my habits and behaviors and actions, I can't handle them on my own. But it says that we have to, how do we get that grace? How do we receive grace? It says that we must be humble. Right? And so at the end of the service, I'll be standing at the doorway there. I'd love for each one of you to stop by and let me know how humble you are. Right? Is that how it works? Lord, it's hard to be humble. when you're perfect in every way, right? Good thing I'm not wearing blue jeans today, right now. But as we look at that, it's a hard thing for us to deal with, to be humble. But for us to receive grace, we have to admit, I'm lost, I'm messed up. As much as I think I've got it all together, I don't. But we have to be willing to admit that. And here's where I think many of us struggle. To be humble, as God wants for us to be humble, just might mean that we are going to have to allow ourselves to become vulnerable. Because if we truly want help beyond what we can do for ourselves and what God can do for us, then wouldn't it make sense to share our struggle, our vulnerability, our weaknesses with those that are praying and talking to God as well already? Now, the only way this doesn't work is if we're not going to God with our problems and our struggles and our bad habits and our terrible behaviors. And so I'm giving you a whole new list of things to pray for when we talk to the Lord. Not just to be able to say, forgive me for the things I've done wrong. Because God already knows that you've done wrong. Matter of fact, so does everybody else. Right? But get personal with the Lord. And then that might mean get personal with somebody. And I'm not saying we do the testimony time and we come up here and tell everybody everything we know. But you can find somebody. You can find someone to help. You can find somebody to be a prayer partner, to be an accountability person. And being vulnerable to others, and especially to the Lord, is how we begin to cope with the things that get us down. We have the old song, the old hymn. It says, take it to the Lord and leave it where? No, it's not leave it where. It's leave it there. Leave it with Him. The problem is, we do many times, is we take it to Him, and then when we say amen, we pick it back up and carry it around with us again. We must admit that we're powerless to cope with our harmful habits, behaviors, and actions. And fourth and final thing for us here this morning is that we need to admit that I am powerless unless I cling to the Lord. Unless I cling to the Lord. When I hear this word cling, I envision a few different things. So I envision kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean type thing. It's somebody's going to be made to walk the plank because of something that they did. And the captain's there and they've got the sword and they're poking them to walk down the plank and walk to their eternal destruction. And they just fall at the captain's feet and they're just begging. They're just, please, please, please. They're clinging to them. Because if they, hey, nobody's going to throw the captain overboard. So if they cling to him, they'll be safe. But it's then when it becomes separate that it becomes a problem. At least for that one that is looking for an extended life. Another vision I have is kind of Jesus sitting at Simon's house. And Mary comes in with the perfume and breaks it and washes his feet and cries and uses tears and her hair to continue. And she is clinging to the feet of Jesus. And what does everybody else say? I mean, even Simon's like, what is going on here? Judas is like, well, you know what we could have did with that money? And what does Jesus say? You had the opportunity to clean my feet. The poor are with you always. You can give to them the rest of your life. But she has chose me. And I see her clinging to the feet of Jesus. Because no one else is worth it. Because no one else can do what Jesus is gonna do. And everybody else may talk bad and look down upon her situation. But I think what Jesus is saying that we need to pick up on is she gets it. That she should cling to me. What hurt or hang up or habit have you been trying to ignore? And that's what we do. If we don't get rid of them, we just try to ignore them. What can you faithfully accomplish without the Lord? Anyone? John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do almost anything else. What does it say? So apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we try to do all these things. We try to run our life. We try to manage our life. We try to manage other people's lives. When all it really boils down to is each and every one of us need to have a relationship where we cling to Jesus. Because I can't control anybody else. I don't do a very good job of coping with the issues in my life. And I can't change my past, so what do I need to do? Cling to Jesus. He goes back all the way to our week one session where we all need help. We must admit that without Christ, we will fail. And so this again is where we say as Christians, we say this when we have somebody that passes, when we lose a loved one. I don't know what those people in the world that don't have Christ do. Well, what about the people in the church that have Christ that don't use Him and cling to Him as we ought to? We have to admit without Christ, we will fail. For many of us, this can be the hardest part. But you know what is one of the good things? This is, in becoming a Christian, is one of the first things you have to do. You have to realize, and I've shared this story before about Cloyd McGinnis, said, I spent all my life helping other people, doing things for other people, and he realized at the age of 83 that if I want to get to heaven, I can't do it on my own. And he wasn't talking about needing the preacher's help or a couple deacons to get him into the baptistry. What he was saying was he needed Jesus. As we all do. That's how we begin our walk, is to realize that I cannot do it on my own. The only way I can be saved is through what Jesus has done for me. And as I said, it's good that that's one of the first things, because that helps to get us over the hump. We have to admit that I struggle. I have to admit that I need help. I have to admit that I hurt. And it's hard for us, it's hard for many of us, to admit these things because of the thing that we just looked at prior in number 3 was, it's a very humbling thing to ask for help. But as we said, lesson 1, we all need help. Number 2 lesson, don't play God. There's already a God. That job's filled. You don't have to worry about it. But now we have to admit that I need help that I can't give myself. I'm not God. I don't have it all together as much as I'd like to think, or as much as I want everybody else to think that I have it all together. Because remember, if we tell somebody else that we don't have it all together, they're not going to be surprised. Right? We may say that to be nice when somebody I'm just letting you know. I got this struggle. Oh, I just thought you had it all together. Right. Everybody knows it. God knows it. You know it. What we have to do is just admit it. It means being honest and facing a problem that you've wanted to ignore for a long time. And so with that said, number 1, as Christians, what are we not willing to admit in our life that maybe I need to give up something? Maybe I need to change something. What do I struggle with? What do I need to admit to so that I can be a more productive Christian for Christ? Because if you keep it to yourself and don't admit it, you're not going to be more productive. Then number 2. That's for those who are Christians. For number 2, we have to admit, I hope, that you want to go to heaven. And you will not make it on your own. That's number 1. You will not make it on your own. And if you're sitting here this morning and you have thought time and time again before, and we think during the week, and we think as we drive home from the service, I would love to go to heaven someday. You have to admit that you need help getting there, and God's Word, His Son, is the way to make that happen. The Word tells us that you have to believe. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It starts with that belief in Him. Then we move that into action. Repent of our sin. That we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that we are immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we live faithfully for Him. And it's okay to admit that we can't do it on our own, because God already knows it, and everybody else already knows it. It's just up to us to admit it. That we need help, and we need to quit playing God. If you're here today and outside of Jesus Christ, let today be your day of salvation. There'd be no greater thing, right? January 18th, 2026. That was great. I gave my life to Jesus Christ that day. I was immersed for the forgiveness of my sins. You'll remember that for eternity. Allow for heaven to rejoice now and on that day of judgment. Come to Him. I was thinking, we were talking about this the other day. What's the Planet Fitness? Planet Fitness, right? You know what their motto is? Right? No judgment zone. No judgment zone. When you're in Christ, Romans 8:1 kicks into effect. Now there is no condemnation to those that are in Jesus Christ. We will then enter a no judgment zone. Because Jesus Christ will be speaking on our behalf. Come to Him now before it's eternally too late. Will you stand? They lead us in our song.